You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Let's join our favourite scripture scholar, Mark Benedict Coleridge, Archbishop of Brisbane in Australia, who's about to tell the tale of a character from our family tree of faith for his series Blood, Sweat and Tears in the Bible. He's Jacob.
Jacob, though in fact he has other names, and eventually he will be given the name Israel. So let's meet Jacob. He was the son of Isaac, whose name means laughter, you remember, and Rebekah, and therefore the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. He had a twin brother called Esau, a very different kind of a character, as twins often are. Jacob is consistently, even from birth as it were, he's presented as a trickster and an opportunist. He's certainly a lot smarter than his twin brother, because first of all he buys from his twin brother the rights, and they were very significant rights, of the firstborn, because in fact Esau was born before Jacob, and the price for those rights was a lunch. And then even more remarkably, he steals the blessing of the firstborn from his old and blind father, Isaac. Now, this was also a big thing in the ancient world, this blessing of the firstborn. He steals it with his mother's help. Again, Rebekah was one of those powerful women who decided that Jacob was the one who should get the blessing, and she engineered things to ensure that that happened. But there's also a hint in the very ironic telling of the tale that Isaac knew exactly what was going on and agreed with Rebekah. So he steals the blessing, but then for the next few years of his life he runs away because he's racked with this fear that Esau is going to wreak vengeance upon him, as Esau, in a sense, should have, because of the way in which Jacob had treated him. Eventually, there's a fragile reconciliation between the two brothers, but they decide to part company forever, which was probably, in the circumstances, the best of resolutions. That in the midst of this world, this dark world of fear, this dream world, as it were, when his life is threatened by his own twin brother, God appears to him in that extraordinary scene at Bethel that we know as Jacob's ladder, where he has this dream, this vision in the night, in the darkness, the light in the darkness of the angels going up and down from heaven. And really what it is, it's a vision of the promise passing to him from Abraham, the great promise of life, through Isaac, his father, and now coming in the darkness as brilliant light to Jacob. So the trickster and the opportunist, gripped by fear in the time of darkness, is touched by the same God of the promise. Again, why Jacob? He wasn't worthy, but then worthiness for the Bible is never the issue. It's simply a question of what we would call grace. So the light comes to him in the darkness, the trickster receives the promise made to his grandfather and his father. But there is one splendid moment when the trickster himself is tricked. And this, again, is the irony of these biblical stories. And it's all about his marriage. Now, he runs away and he works for a man called Laban. Laban has two daughters. One is very beautiful, the younger one, Rachel. And Jacob is desperate to marry Rachel. The other daughter is Leah, who's older and ugly. Now, what happens is, Laban says, yes, you can marry Rachel. All right, so the marriage goes forward. But on the marriage night, under cover of dark and a few drinks, Laban slips Leah into Jacob's bed. And it's only when he wakes up in the morning that he realizes that he has, as it were, consummated the marriage with Leah. So he's been tricked. Because Laban says, you can't marry the younger girl before the older girl. That's not just. It's Leah's right, whatever about her ugliness. It's her right as the firstborn to be the first married. So he ends up with two wives. Now, he never accepts Leah, and he never likes her children. She has a lot of children. Rachel initially struggles to have children, but eventually does. Jacob never really is reconciled to the thought of Leah and the fact of her children. And then we get the story of the rape of one of Jacob's daughters. This is years later. The rape of Dinah. Now, Dinah was the daughter of Leah, the loathed wife. She's raped by a guy called Shechem. And when the news comes to Jacob, he does nothing. He just sits there, as if stunned. But again, it's the opportunist pondering his opportunity. what might I get by way of recompense from Shechem and his clan? He's not worried about Dinah. He's worried about himself and what he can get. When Dinah's full brothers come in from the field, they are furious. They're not only furious that she's been raped, they're furious with Jacob because he's done nothing. And because he's seen this simply in terms of an opportunity to do well, to be compensated. Eventually, what happens is that these brothers of Dinah, the full brothers, the sons of Leah, slaughter Shechem and his clan. And this time, Jacob's furious with them, with the boys, the brothers, because of what they've done, because he's missed his opportunity. And he chides the boys. He said, "Why have you done this?" And in the way the story is told, the two boys are made to say simply this: "Should he treat our sister as a harlot?" But the irony is, who does the "he" refer to? The rapist or to Jacob? We're not told, but it can apply just as easily to Jacob as to the rapist. Should he treat our sister as a harlot, just use Dinah to make the most of the opportunity? You see what I mean when I talk about light and darkness? This is a giant in our family tree, and a man who is presented as, in many ways, appalling, but still splendid in other ways, and the receiver of the great promise of God that comes always and only as grace. He dies in Egypt years later. He comes out a lot better from the great Joseph story that you know. But he dies in Egypt, having gone down to see Joseph, whom the brothers sold into slavery. And he's never forgotten, because when the children of Israel come to leave Egypt, the first thing they pick up and take with them, their greatest treasure, were the bones of Jacob, he who had received the promise.
You were listening there to the Archbishop of Brisbane in Australia, Mark Benedict Coleridge. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.